Hello, and welcome to Season 2 of Fathoming Water. I'm your host, Melissa Mosey. Today we are going to take a look at the Arizona Governor's Water Augmentation Council and the lack of voices from Southern Arizona and the environmental and conservation communities. A year ago in Season 1, I spoke with Tom Buschatsky from the Arizona Department of Water Resources after he addressed the Sustainable Water for Southern Arizona Community Forum. Here's what Tom Buschatsky said about that council in his keynote address in November of 2015.
Governor Ducey on October 5th did announce his water initiative, which essentially is the implementation of this plan. Governor Ducey has spoken throughout the state and in his speech in Israel about the importance of the history of collaboration in Arizona among the water users, and that history and that collaboration leading us to the point we're at today and being pretty resilient compared to other parts of the West. The governor is going to appoint a team called the Governor's Water Advisory Commission. The team will be led again by DWR. The team will report back to DWR with recommendations on potential policy, direction, or other statutory changes. We're going to be looking probably first at additional opportunities for water conservation. Our probably second task will be looking at moving reuse forward, and then we'll get into some of the tougher issues, not that those will be easy, including the desalination issues and the water transfer issues. We're looking at the initiative as kind of the next big thing. The last big thing, so to speak, was the 1980 Groundwater Code. So we will be moving forward with that process, and I expect really good and big things to come out of it.
By December of 2015, the name of what was then called the Advisory Council had been changed to the Governor's Water Augmentation Council, and the seats had been appointed, with only one environmental seat included, that of Patrick Graham of the Nature Conservancy. Today, we talk with Tucson City Council member Steve Kozacik from Ward 6, the executive director of the Sierra Club Grand Canyon Chapter, Sandy Barr, and the former president of the Huachuca Audubon Society and a current member of the Sierra Club Water Sentinels, Tricia Girardet. I first asked them what they thought of the name change from the Water Advisory Council to the Water Augmentation Council, and only having one environmental voice on the council. First, let's hear from Steve Kozacik.
I don't think that the city of Tucson, I don't think Southern Arizona, probably more accurately though, I don't think conservation-minded voices are being fairly represented on the GWAC, the Governor's Water Augmentation Council. And so just embedded in their name, augmentation, as opposed to conservation. So the name that Governor Ducey has even framed the council with kind of speaks to the notion that we, GWAC, are here to augment our water and not to conserve our water. And if you look at the constituent members of the council, that notion is pretty much validated. It's got large municipal users. It's got agribusiness. It's got large industrial users. It's got the Cattlemen's Association. It doesn't have the Audubon Society. It doesn't have Sierra Club. It doesn't have some of the groups who are prevalent across the state, across the nation, but across the state of Arizona, who have as their mission conservation, preservation, riparian habitat, making sure that we're not simply outstripping our ability to pass on to our children a coherent water policy, a water policy that recognizes the fact that we live in a desert. When I reached out to the GWAC and to the governor to say, we don't believe that your membership reflects the necessary diversity of voices that I believe needs to be on that council, the answer was pretty much just toddle along, we'll take care of this.
Let's hear from Sandy Barr.
I do think that the name of the council does reflect the direction they're taking. The same people who have been affecting water policy at the state capitol for a very long time, they're a lot of times collectively referred to as the water buffaloes, and they're the ones at the table, the agricultural interests, the developers, cities, of course, the Department of Water Resources. So the makeup of the Augmentation Council was the first concern that we raised, and we wrote a letter, and we contacted the governor's office and asked that they broaden it, include some conservation interests, and then we asked if they would establish even like a task force. And of course, neither has happened. And it's unfortunate because we had really hoped that they would establish a council that was, one, more inclusive, including voices of more conservation interests, and that would really look at, well, how can we conserve water and keep more water in rivers? And I feel like this Augmentation Council really got the attention of a number of groups down in southern Arizona, because at first there was almost no one on the committee that was even from southern Arizona, right? But there is no one from the conservation perspective from southern Arizona or from northern Arizona.
Tricia Girardet weighs in.
I was reviewing the makeup of the GWAC, the Governor's Water Augmentation Council, and it's pretty heavily stacked for corporate interests, commercial interests, and very, very little environmental concerns and no public concerns. We do still have some living rivers in Arizona. One of them is the San Pedro. Battle's been fought over that for many decades now. And the Verde is another very special river. And neither of them have particular representation on the council. And southern Arizona, which is a hot spot for diversity, and water is the basis of all life, should be, I think, better represented. And I consider that they have no representation. That's not a good thing for coming up with a solution that will work for everybody. That's not simply driven by the people in power. It ignores the people.
And this council, the way it was set up initially, at least has been set up in a way that it feels very exclusive. The first report they put out, there was no opportunity for public comment, and it's when you go to the meetings, it's not like something comes up and you have a question that you can just ask it. It feels like it's keeping a number of voices out and a number of important issues out.
I asked who was responsible for the appointments to the Water Augmentation Council and why conservation voices were left out.
I think the governor's office did have a huge say in who was appointed as his council, so he made the appointments, but I think a lot came from there. Hunter Moore, who is the governor's natural resource policy advisor, is engaged in this as well, and so far has not been willing to meet with us. So, which is kind of weird, because we've had Republicans and Democrats as governors over the years, and have always been able to get in and at least have a conversation. And unfortunately, that hasn't been the case.
I think it's pretty clearly Ducey's ideology. This is business first, and we'll throw a bone to the conservation community when and if we feel that's necessary. Otherwise, they would already be included. I mean, you didn't see this really partisan ideological approach to water policy back in the 1980 and 1970s and 80s when the Groundwater Management Act were being created. I mean, you had bipartisan recognition that this is the lifeblood of this region, and that doesn't exist. It clearly doesn't exist. And so the direct answer to your question is, I think, is strictly ideological, and I really resent the fact that a guy like Doug Ducey is ignoring the fact that ideology has no place in this conversation. This is about future generations. You, Ducey, need to recognize that prior to you showing up on the scene, Republicans and Democrats, Independents and Greens, and everybody who was involved in living in a desert recognized that this is probably the single most important issue regionally that you have in front of you. You cannot throw your ideology in front of that, and that's what he's doing.
After Governor Brewer became governor, there was a pretty immediate shift right there, especially on some of the climate change related issues, because Governor Brewer said she didn't think climate change was real. And so it's hard to then say, well, we should be considering climate change in our water policies if the governor is saying, well, I don't think it's real, I don't think it's an issue. And so there was an immediate shift there. But as I said, her policy advisors would at least meet. Since Governor Ducey has been governor, that has not been the case.
At a state level, I'm not aware of too many in the controlling party that have taken environmental water stances. I'm sure there's some, but it was played out pretty starkly in the last legislative session when my state senator proposed some bills that would dramatically change the water conversation around here. And I believe the votes fell along pretty strictly partisan lines. So I don't yet see bipartisan effort.
I asked why conservation and environmental water is important to the conversation at the Governor's Water Augmentation Council.
Just a couple of years ago, I posed that kind of question to the Sierra Vista City Council as they were adopting a new plan. And I said, you have these small goals that say, well, you know, we're gonna do some recharge here and we're gonna do something else there. Said your goal needs to be no new depletion of the aquifer. We have to balance what's coming out with what's coming in, just like you would hopefully for, you know, a checking account or a savings account. So you have to reach balance. And if that was your goal, then you would come up with all kinds of creative ways to get there. But you have to agree that that's what you want to reach. And the Governor's Council, it doesn't have that as a goal. I mean, they, as you pointed out, they changed their name and they're just going to say, well, we need to find more water, augmentation.
And so when I raised the issue, that issue of conservation in southern Arizona with Persatsky and with Ducey, the answer I got was, well, the agribusiness is southern Arizona. That's your voice. Well, that's foolish, you know, and it's disingenuous because they know better than to suggest that you can supplant the Audubon Society with the agribusiness. I mean, please, you know, so, I mean, we're not stupid people. And so the answer was disingenuous. It was dishonest. And more importantly, it's harmful to our ability to create a water policy that builds on the successes that we've had and that will provide a stable water policy for generations to come.
There's absolutely no voice on the GWAC or so far in the planning areas that ADWR has visited of the 22 planned. There's no consideration of environmental water. And that's at least in part because ADWR has no legal requirement to consider that. So it's understandable, but it's pretty sad because the environment, as many of us have said for many years, is simply an indicator of the future for humans. Even though we've persuaded ourselves for many years that we are not part of nature, we are, and we're completely dependent on a healthy and functional environmental system. And if all the creatures die out, they're simply harbingers of our fate.
Maybe even talk about environmental flows. You know, can we protect some flows in the rivers, you know, for fish and wildlife and plants? And, you know, those all benefit people too. This Augmentation Council and overall perhaps our governor and legislature, they undervalue, even from an economic perspective, having water flowing in the river for recreation. You know, like, I mean, people come from all over the world for birding in the San Pedro area. And it doesn't matter how many times you point to, like, there's been great research on that over the years, and it seems like we still continue to devalue it.
This is not a conversation that should be or can be confined to the representatives who are on that council right now. We're missing some very critical voices. And sure, the agribusiness and the cattlemen association, the mining industry, they all have a legitimate place at the table, but not to the exclusion of the conservation voices. If we're going to create a coherent water policy, a water policy that builds on the successes that the state of Arizona can brag about, the 1980 Groundwater Management Act, and we can't exclude the voices, the conservation voices, that have been involved in the conversation back into the 70s and the 80s. And that's what seems to be happening now.
Conservation has been effective. There are, as the governor's office and ADWR are fond of pointing out, we have more people here now than we did X number of years ago, 20 or 30, and overall they're using less water. There are still some very strange things that happen around water, and easy steps, I think, that still could be taken to conserve.
I asked what they would like to see happen with the Water Augmentation Council.
I would rename it Governor's Water Conservation Council or the Governor's Water Sustainability Council, because that would be perfect, because you're talking about the sustainable water supplies for our communities as well as for our rivers and plants and animals that depend on them. That would be a nice focus. I don't anticipate that he's going to just shift it to something else, but at a minimum, he ought to include some more voices and at least have some focus on some of these other concerns. At this point, I think the best we could hope for would be for them to have a subgroup that was really focused on conservation, and that would become a priority.
Well, I'm not sure that we need more, but maybe we can cut. I mean, 29 is a big committee already. So how about we do this? How about we cut 7 of those members out, and I'll let Ducey make that choice, and we bring in 7 conservation/environmentally-minded groups, and so name them. The Nature Conservancy we mentioned already. You've got Audubon Society, you've got the Sierra Club, you've got the Community Water Coalition, you've got Watershed Management Group. I mean, start naming the groups who are really already in existence. This isn't as though that we're going to go out and have to start pounding the pavement to find people who might be willing to do this. And quite honestly, I've had conference calls that included 15 to 20 of these different groups who were all interested in being a player in the conversation. So they exist out there. It's simply a matter of saying, we don't need to build a bigger table. Let's just open up some chairs at the table that already exists to bring in some of these more diverse voices who ought to be a part of the conversation.
I think we need a strong, forceful voice for the environment, and one of the most prominent certainly would be Sierra Club. Another, not quite as forceful but still concerned for the environment, would be Audubon in general, which has an Audubon Arizona component, and they then represent National Audubon in the state of Arizona. And they're concerned about western waters and habitat for birds and other creatures.
There are a lot of environmental groups. Some of them are very small groups that are focused on a particular basin or a particular river. I don't have an exact number, but I know that, when we've been working to have our voices heard in either in the legislative arena or we've had some sign-on letters, there are a lot of different groups that certainly a couple dozen at least that would like to have more of a voice in the process and are very concerned.
I would like to see those voices gather as one, join at the hip. We can probably bring 15 or 20 of those conservation-minded groups together and say that even though your group might be focused on rivers, rivers, and my group might be focused on Lake Mead, and another group might be focused on reclaim, or whatever the immediate focus of those groups is, they can all agree on one thing, that Governor Ducey, we are here as a vocal force who is going to shine a light on GWAC and the foolish direction that it's going, and make sure that everybody in the state and everybody in the upper and lower basin recognizes that Arizona, even though it's got a wonderful history from the standpoint of water policy, is throwing that out the window for Ducey's ideological purposes. And I would love to see those 15 or 20 groups, or however many there are, join at the hip and start putting policy together, putting white papers together, putting a press release out that simply says, we're agreed on this one thing, and that is that we need voices at your table, and we're not going away.
Environmental groups can continue to talk about the problems and about some solutions. I think we do need to come to the table with some solutions. We need to continue to speak up. My work at the legislature, I know sometimes when there aren't enough voices in the mix, it seems like that's when the worst things happen. That's why sometimes we will like testify in a committee, even though, you know, we know that they're going to pass, like those water bills last session, we know they're going to pass them anyway, but we're going to go on the record. We need to make sure that the legislators know what the downside is, but also that information gets out. So I think environmental groups have an important public education role. Some people who, you know, they move to our communities from other places, they might actually think that a dry riverbed is a natural desert river, and not understanding that the salt in the Santa Cruz were dried up by groundwater pumping and diversions, and that, you know, that's not the natural condition. We did this hike on the Upper Verde, and there was a gentleman who was part of the hike that lived in Paulden, and he said, I didn't know there was a river here. And so part of, I think, our role is helping to connect people with the rivers, with their watershed, understanding where they live, and really having an appreciation for water in a desert environment, and then also making sure that they understand some of the things that they can do, including speaking up to policymakers. I mean, I feel like a lot of times the water policies go the direction they do, which hasn't been good in recent years, because there is just that small group of people that are determining it, and they're not really representative. One of the things that we're trying to do is help create more of a united vision around water conservation.
I asked for their reaction to the first subcommittee of the Water Augmentation Council that focuses entirely on desalination options.
My reaction is twofold. Number one, desal doesn't only mean salt water. Desal is important as wells get deeper and the water being drawn from the wells is saltier. And so as a way to improve that water quality and also reclaim treated wastewater, desal could be an important strategy. But in general, desal refers to seawater or salt water and involves large quantities. And so 2/3 of the population of the state is served by Colorado River water. And so that's understandably, I guess, why they take into account the 2/3 of the state. But they are then, I think, ignoring 1/3 of the state.
I think it's a foolish endeavor. I think it's extremely expensive, not only from a standpoint of the upfront technology that's involved in, you know, creating the plants, but the operation and maintenance of the plants is just extremely expensive going forward. We have options that we haven't exhausted from a conservation standpoint. There's no sense in trying to tame the sea before we give up on the conservation notion. It's conservation versus augmentation, and that's the basis of this conversation. It's the basis of the conversation that's not happening up there. We have the GWAC running around in their own self-professed strategy is to take 5 years and to go around the state and talk to all these regions and come back in 5 years and conclude on some sort of policy going forward. By the time GWAC gets done with their five-year study, we will at least be in a stage one drought, and we will probably be in a stage two. Everybody knows, because of the subcommittee that they've already formed, that the end game in this thing is desal. We haven't even touched on the whole chicken and egg issue of extending reclaim lines and using that as a conservation measure. Now, the chicken and egg being, do you build the lines and make the capital investment before you have the reclaim customers who can't afford to help build those lines? I believe the jurisdictions, City of Tucson being one of them, ought to be investing dollars in expanding the capacity of reclaim, because that's our ace in the hole. My belief is that we ought to be making significant investments in expanding the reclaim capacity so that we're using this effluent and we're not digging down and using our potable water supply. Again, but this conversation that you and I are having now is framed around conservation. It's not framed around augmentation. And that's the problem that I've got with the GWAC and with Ducey's ideology, is that we just have to pull water in out of the Pacific, pull water in out of the Salton Sea, pull it in wherever you need to, irrespective of the fact that it's going to take a huge capital investment to desalinate the water. How about investing that technology into conservation strategies like extending reclaim lines and like using those kinds of technologies that we know are going to help over the long haul, where desal is not going to.
It'll be interesting to see what this desal subcommittee comes up with, but most people you talk to don't think it's very practical at all. It costs a lot, it's very energy intensive, and what do you do with all that brine, right? It seems like not a very economically sound direction to go, but also environmentally not a good idea either. How is Sierra Vista or Prescott or Flagstaff going to benefit from desalination? Unlikely that any of those communities would. And yeah, there's a lot more we can do with conservation, and and we need to look at agriculture and whether having, you know, such thirsty crops in such an arid place makes sense at all. And would that happen without heavily subsidized water? Probably not. And we have a legislature in place that really doesn't seem to understand, you know, the value of water, and that we need to look at doing things differently. In this last legislative session, they were passing bills to weaken our water laws, which already are not strong enough. Especially, you get outside the active management areas, and it's even the regulation of groundwater, I mean, it's very, very limited. And so a legislature that, you know, is pretty out of touch with what needs to be done relative to water.
Maybe the time is right for the people, those who care, and I can hope it's a majority of the population, to tell the state that we want these areas protected, that we appreciate and we value water for the environment.
For Ducey to immediately default to desal is just a demonstration of his ignorance of what's out there from the standpoint of conservation. And it's embedded in their name. It's the Water Augmentation Council. Let's create something that doesn't exist and in fact, choose the most expensive technology that exists out there to try and achieve a goal that ignores the fact that we haven't exhausted the conservation remedies that we have available to us, and that many of these other groups that we're talking about would love to bring to the table. They're just being ignored and shut out.
Thanks to Steve Kozacik, Sandy Barr, and Tricia Girardet for beginning the conversation about the Governor's Water Augmentation Council and the lack of voices for conservation, not only for environmental concerns, but for our communities as well. They make the point that the dramatic shift to partisan politics in the past few decades is putting sound water policy in danger in Arizona. We will continue to investigate the Governor's Water Augmentation Council in future episodes and the lack of other voices. Thanks for listening to Fathoming Water. Thanks to KXCI and to Chris Levesque for our theme music, A Walk in the Wasteland.